Happy Thursday, everyone out there in Radio Land. How are you doing this morning? This is Linda Sims, and the name of the program is called A Voice of a People, here live on WGH Talk, also live on Facebook. We also stream live on the web, www.wgh1071.com. You can also download a free app. You can find this app in your Play Store. I know a lot of you know how to find apps, but some of you may not. Find this app in your Play Store. And this app is titled Tune In, T-U-N-E, space, I-N, on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers, or any other electronic device you may have that you have the opportunity or option to download apps. Once you do that, please search WWGH. You also have the option to call in during this live broadcast by calling 740-383-9944 if you have any questions or would like to make any comments during this live broadcast from now until 12 noon. Okay? Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson at 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. This will take place September the 21st, which is next Saturday. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. If you have need of free produce, please take advantage of this notification and let other people know that there is free produce available to them as well. We also have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner there is Cheryl Lee. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Phone, 740-262-0939. And those of you who faithfully listen to A Voice of a People, thank you for your support. Thank you for tuning in and listening. If it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And I welcome you today. I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is titled, Vision of Success. Having true faith in our goals and confidence in ourselves determines our destiny. There is no room for doubt. Just as in nature, when the root is deep, there is limitless strength. With every thought, we can reaffirm our goals, creating a vision of success. So make note of that and keep that in your thoughts. Now, I'd like to turn my attention over to my guest today, Fred Malone. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Linda. Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
I'm glad to have you. I'm so excited. Now, yeah. Fred is associated with
several different organizations, okay. Mainly the Marion County Historical Society. That's kind of my bread and butter as a volunteer. However, okay. I do, as most people that have listened over the years know, that I do volunteer at several other historical societies and organizations, not just in Marion County, but also in contiguous counties up in Wyandotte County and Crawford County and Richland County and kind of all over this part of the state.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's been kind of a hobby, I guess you could call it a hobby of mine, ever since I became fully retired. Gosh, going on 12 years now.
Oh, that's good.
Hard to believe. Yeah, it still amazes me every morning when I get up. I have to pinch myself because I don't realize I'm now 72 years old,
oh,
which
my.
Is hard to fathom. You know, most of my memories come back, flooding back to me every day, you know, childhood things. And my mother's been gone now for, 13 years, going on 13 years. And there isn't a day goes past that I don't think about her, as mm-hmm. most people do with their mothers. And your thought for the day was very incisive. I appreciate that, and I'll keep that with me as the day goes on. So yeah, so but I am glad to be here again, and this is our first time together.
Yes, it is.
I hope we have many more.
I hope so too.
Over the years, I've enjoyed the company of Charlie Evers, of course, for years and years. Knew Charlie long before I got involved with his radio show. And then just recently with Glenn Coble, and enjoyed my association with Glenn. Actually, Glenn is going to be joining the Marion County Historical Society in our at our November dinner. He's going to be portraying one of our U.S. presidents for me.
Will. Yeah. Oh, wow. And, that's
he great. He had some acting experience in college, and I thought, hey, you know, maybe I can make a president out of him.
Right.
And had been looking for James Buchanan for a number of years. And he kind of has a little resemblance to James Buchanan, and so I suggested it to him one day, about a year ago, I believe it was, and he thought about it, and we finally came to an agreement first part of the year, so he's getting ready to do that. So
well,
I'm excited about having him on board. He's become a good friend over the years. So,
okay.
But it's history is a fun thing, and excuse me, one thing I think the Marion County Historical Society has done and done well over the last 15, 16 years, is teach people history by doing first-person characterization. And don't know if you're familiar with our Dinner with the Presidents, but this is, I believe, our 13th or 14th year in doing this.
Okay.
And we are excited that we're coming up with our current one in November, first Saturday in November, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute.
Okay.
But what we have tried to do over the last several years, at least since I became involved in the Historical Society about 14 years ago, is do a lot of first-person reenactments. We have found that most people, especially the younger kids today, they don't learn history in school anymore. History is not a prime subject for most schools. No, it isn't. You know, when we were in school, history, geography were two main things. And especially growing up in Ohio, we even had a separate class on the history of Ohio, mm-hmm. which was a half a year class back in my time. And so unfortunately, there are other subjects that they cover now in history, if taught at all, mm-hmm. is very lightly touched on. So one of the things that we've been successful with is teaching people firsthand by these reenactments and by our first-person history. And of course, we have programs that go into all the schools locally. We've had several programs involving that over the last several years, even during the summer mm-hmm. when they're doing the summer lunches for kids.
Okay.
Our education director goes out and does programs for these kids even during the summertime. So they're going to learn not just U.S. and Ohio history, but local history, which is extremely important.
Yes, it is.
Considering, you know, Marion's been around for a long time, and there's a lot of great local history here. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's one thing that we pride ourselves on. And one of our primary programs that we do is our Dinner with the Presidents. And
okay.
as I said, this is something that we started, I think, about 14 years ago. I retired 12 years ago, and we started doing it a couple of years before I retired. So it's something that people have come to expect. It's always the first Saturday in November. We set that up because that generally fell right before the general election. The general
right.
election said November,
true.
Always being the first Tuesday after the first Monday. So usually that first Saturday comes before that election. So and that kind of gets people in the spirit of making sure they get out to vote, you know,
mm-hmm.
if they haven't already voted by mail or in person at the county building. So that was a prime date for us. This year, the date is Saturday, November the 5th, and the event is from 5:30 to 8:30, and this has been our standard time really since we began.
Okay.
This year we'll be back at the same location that we have been for the last couple of years, and that's Dayspring Wesleyan Church, and that's located on Marymount Gilead Road, right across from Menards. I think just about everybody knows where that church is. It's a really nice big facility,
right.
beautiful church. A couple of 3 years ago, maybe four now, they built a really nice gymnasium behind their church, which is connected actually to the church. Has great facilities there. It's all on one floor, which is great for older people. You know, we've
yeah.
been in a couple locations where you had to do stairs and elevators, and sometimes that just doesn't work well. So Dayspring Wesleyan has been a great home for us, and I hope we can remain there for years to come because the facility holds about 300 people, and that's generally what we get. at our dinners, which is, you know, hard to believe. I think the first dinner we did 14 years ago, we had around 100 people.
Okay.
And over the years, it has grown, and now we actually have to cut it off at 300 because of our facility and constraints and so forth.
That's a nice turnout.
It is. It is. And it's a good fundraiser for the Historical Society. Because I like to mention that we are self-sustaining. We don't get any federal or state money. So all of our funds are derived from our memberships and donations, admissions to the museum, and then also for the events that we have throughout the year that are fundraisers for us. And this is probably our number one fundraiser, our number one event raiser. And again, we try to price it reasonably so that people can attend. We do encourage children to come along as long as they're at least 5 years old or older because they will appreciate it. It's a family event. Again, it's to teach people history through first person. So the evening begins with a gala reception and the arrival of the presidents. Usually they'll have a first lady with them. Some do, some don't.
Okay.
But we try to encourage first ladies to come with their presidents. It's followed by a buffet dinner. And the dinner is very unique, Linda, because what we have done over the years is we have taken original recipes from the White House cookbooks. And those recipes then will be featured in the foods that we serve based on the speaking presidents that are on the dais that night. We generally have anywhere from 18 to 20 U.S. presidents at our dinner.
Okay.
We feature four, and they're the main speakers, so all the foods will be based on those four speaking presidents. And believe me, when you go back as far as George Washington to the 1700s, you get some very interesting foods.
I bet.
In those original White House recipes. We've been working with the same caterer since we began, and she does an absolute wonderful job in recreating these dishes, because as you can imagine, some of the things that these recipes call for, you can't even find anymore. I mean, you know, you think about what they were eating in the 1700s and the early 1800s. But she's done a great job in finding things that are so close to those original recipes that you probably, if we brought back one of those presidents from that time and they ate that, they probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference. You know? So,
probably not.
So that's really, I think that's probably, aside from the teaching of the history and learning about each president, their private lives and so forth, I think that's probably one of the aspects that makes this so much fun for people. Because they do get to try different things that have been eaten by those U.S. presidents over the last 200 plus years. So then after the dinner, we will have a short intermission, and people can stretch their legs, go to the restroom, and then they'll come back and we'll start introducing our presidents. And as I say, I usually have four speakers. Normally we'll have another guest, so you'll have five speakers, and they each will speak about 10 minutes. And I kind of leave it up to the presidents whether they want to talk about their administration, whether they want to talk about their life before the presidency, or if they want to talk about their life after the presidency. And we usually get a pretty good mix of you know, each president. And I really have to say I'm so proud of our volunteers, because this is all done with volunteer help. There's nobody that's paid except the caterer,
right,
obviously. So everyone that is either a reenactor or helping with the preparation, the setup, the teardown, people that are acting as hostesses or hostess, this is all volunteer. They don't take a dime for it. And that just shows you what kind of public support and volunteerism we have in Marion.
Okay.
And I think you not only see that in the Historical Society, I think, but you also see that in the church involvement around town and in the private sector with the social clubs and the civic clubs and the organizations that are involved. Yeah,
yes.
You see that quite a bit. So I think we're really lucky in this community to have those people that are willing to do this. So we start off, as I said, with this gala reception. The presidents will each come in. They'll be introduced. They'll be seated at their tables. And their tables will have general public people sitting with them. Now, it's kind of an interesting thing that we do. You can either buy a general admission ticket, which will get you just general admission seating, Or you can buy what's called a VIP ticket, which will get you a seat with a president and sometimes their first lady. And that's kind of fun because you get dinner conversation
with these
individuals. And the guys that and the gals that perform as presidents and first ladies, they study their characters a lot. Because as you can imagine, if you're sitting at a table and you've got six guests and you're the president or the first lady, you might get some questions that might be a little tough to answer.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to really study your character. You need to know your person that you are interpreting so that you can ask these questions. You don't want to get caught off guard with egg on your face, so to speak. So I really have to credit these people that are volunteers, again, not getting paid, that really study those people that they're portraying, and they do such a wonderful job. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you'll get someone at your table that's going to try to catch you.
Right, right.
And a question, you get that.
Right.
I've had that before myself. And you have to be on your toes as to how you're going to handle that if you don't know the answer.
Right, right.
And so when we break people in to be these reenactors and to portray these people, we kind of give them some tips, you know, here's how you can handle this, here's how you can handle that. So, but it is very interesting for those people.
Where did this idea come from, Breakfast with the Presidents?
Well, years ago, before I retired, I was doing volunteer work for the Historical Society, and one of our local attorneys who's a volunteer, Doug Ebert, I don't know whether you know Doug or not.
I've heard of him.
Doug used to be an assistant county prosecutor. He and I have been friends ever since I came to Marion, and we were kind of sitting around talking one afternoon, and Doug said, you know, we ought to have some kind of a lunch or a dinner or something, and we've got so many people that can do different things, and do a dinner. And so we started brainstorming, and this is what the two of us came up with.
Oh,
and it's been, as I said, highly successful. This year, event pricing, if you could get a ticket, I will say all the VIP tickets are sold out. They go quickly. The dinner is, as I said, the first Saturday in November. We get calls from people the 1st of December wanting to buy tickets for the next year. And I haven't even put together who's going to be on the dinner yet.
Oh,
you know,
my.
So we have to hold people off till January, February, till I get a chance to line people up. Because, you know, I'm calling anywhere from 20 to 25 people to do this. And, you know, you got the holidays coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all that. So I usually don't even get started until January trying to come up with my next year's plan. But anyway, the VIP tickets are sold out.
You just don't have to worry about people attending, do you?
We don't. We've been real fortunate, knock on wood, and praise the Lord, we've had great success with this. $35 is a general seating ticket, and that'll get you just at a table with seven other people. There are eight people to a table. Or you can buy a group. You know, some people buy groups and bring a whole group. And then general seating is $25 for kids. And that's ages 5 to 12. If it's under 5, then there's no charge. But we don't recommend people bringing kids under 5 because they're not going to understand, and they'll probably get antsy and want to get out. So we found that kids 6, 7, and 8 years old are interested. You know, they really find it interesting. And, of course, all these characters are dressed in the appropriate clothing of the time period that they're representing. So if we have George Washington, he looks like George Washington. If you opened up a history book and looked at a picture of him, you're going to think it's George Washington. And that's the other thing, too. We've tried to get volunteers that have a little bit of a resemblance to the character that they're portraying. Our George Washington, he's a dead ringer for him. Teddy Roosevelt, another favorite of people, looks just like Teddy Roosevelt. Harry Truman, for those people that were around when Harry Truman was president, you think you were talking to Harry Truman. Same way with Eisenhower. Franklin Roosevelt, you know, anybody that is part of the greatest generation or grew up in the 30s and 40s, then, you know, they know and associate with Franklin Roosevelt. Our Franklin Roosevelt is a dead ringer for him.
Mm.
Dead ringer. Wow. So we've tried to get people that look like the characters that they're portraying to do that, and they've done a great job in doing it. So anyway, general seating. Kids 5 to 12, $20. And, of course, if they're 13 or older, then, of course, they'd pay an adult price ticket. So $35 and $20, those are the only seats that are left. The VIP seats sold out. So this year, are featured speakers. And I'm doing something different this year. I've thrown in a first lady to be a featured speaker.
Okay.
You know, I want to be correct here. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that the women get a part in this as well. So this year we have James Monroe, who was the fifth president of the United States, as a featured speaker. We have Teddy Roosevelt, a favorite of people. He's the 26th president. Ronald Reagan, who was the 40th president of the United States, and very popular, obviously. And then this year we're going to have Elizabeth Ann Betty Ford as a featured speaker. And, of course, most people remember Betty Ford and what a great first lady she was.
Yes.
The fact that she shared her illness, you know, with the country, and I think really saved a lot of lives because of that, and with the Betty Ford Clinic and all the things that she did, and coming forward with her breast cancer and sharing that, I think that encouraged a lot of women to go out and be tested and find out.
Still being tested.
Absolutely. Yes. So I think we can credit a lot of that with Betty Ford making that public. So I'm really excited to have Betty Ford. And the woman that's going to be portraying Betty Ford did Betty Ford for me once at a luncheon, and she is fantastic.
Okay, great.
Absolutely fantastic. So
what do they do? Look up famous speeches from the president?
Or? Well, yes, and there, of course, are a lot of biographies written on each one of these presidents.
Right.
And same thing with first ladies. The gal that's portraying Betty Ford, interestingly enough, I had found a book a few years ago that Betty Ford wrote after she left the White House and after Ronnie died. And she basically, I think the title of the book is something like It's My Turn or Now It's My Turn. And she tells her life story in this book, and it's a fantastic book. I would encourage anyone to read it, especially women, to read this book that Betty wrote, because she is very candid in the book, and it's just a good read, and it reads very simply and very easy. And so I suggested this to this young girl that's portraying Betty Ford, and she was very excited, got the book, read it, and I just talked to her a few weeks ago, and she said found out a lot of great things in that book that she didn't know, and that wasn't generally known in biographies that were written about her by somebody else. So I think that's how we learn a lot about these characters. But these guys will, they'll find all these biographies, they'll go back to speeches that were given. In fact, I think Teddy Roosevelt this year is going to be using a portion of a speech that Roosevelt gave in Minneapolis during the Bull Moose campaign of 1912. I think that's going to be part of his speech this year, part of what he says. And most of them won't use notes. It's off the cuff, you know.
Really?
It's they have so much knowledge in their minds that they know the character so well that they do it off the cuff. So and some of them, of course, will use notes. Some of them do speeches, have their message written out, but for the most part, it's off the cuff.
Oh.
Yeah. And the reason they have to be prepared like that is because if they have a dinner table with people sitting there, they're carrying on conversation at the table as that president. They're not Joe Smith.
This is so neat.
They're whoever the president is. And they encourage people to ask them questions. They encourage conversation. So they're in first person all the time. And a lot of times we'll get people at the table that'll try to pull them out of character, say, well, what do you do in real life? Or what's your name? Well, my name is Ronald Reagan. You know? I'm the president of the United States. They won't break character. They will not break character until that dinner's over.
Mm.
Then they'll ask, you know, if you want to know who they are or what they do, or, you know, what's their background, that type of thing.
Wow, that's so cool.
But they do stay in character. They're really good about that. Okay, so those are the speaking presidents. In addition to those four speaking presidents or first ladies, Mary Ellen Withrow, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, will also be speaking.
Okay.
So she's my fifth speaker. And this year, I'm just kind of teasing people. I have an unannounced invited guest that will be also coming to the dinner and will be speaking briefly. So actually, this year I've got six speakers. But that's a guest, and I tell people, you'll have to come to the dinner to find out who the guest is, you know, so. But I'm excited about that, too. A favorite. I'll say that much. It's going to be a favorite.
Okay.
Non-speaking presidents, and again, these are our presidents that will be in the audience. They'll have a table with other people at the table with them. Some will have first lady, some won't. And they'll carry on dinner conversations with the people at their table. And after the event is over, we encourage people to go up and ask any of these presidents, whether they were featured speakers or whether they were just there, mm-hmm. to take photographs or to talk to them afterwards. And they love doing that too. And we usually we'll have the whole group get up on the stage, and so people can take a picture of the whole group. And a lot of times people want to get in with the group, so they've got a group picture. Mm-hmm. So we encourage all that. We like interaction. We like interaction. We want people to ask questions. We want people to learn about these individual presidents, because if you go back and look at some of their lives, some of their presidencies were difficult. Mm-hmm. Some had children that died in the White House. Some had children that died on the way to the White House. There were assassinations. There were sicknesses. Just any type of things. And a lot of times these things aren't talked about. Especially if you're learning history in school, you wouldn't hear these little undermined things. Mm-hmm. So we do encourage people to ask questions and find out about their character. So non-speaking this year, I have James Madison, the fourth president of the United States, one of our very early presidents, one of the founding fathers. Martin Van Buren, another very early president that most people know very, very little about.
That's true.
He was the eighth president. James Buchanan, the first time I've ever had James Buchanan as one of my presidents, the 15th president of the United States, and he was the forerunner to Abraham Lincoln. He was the only bachelor president, never married. So a very interesting character.
That's probably why he didn't make it.
Could have been. He was defeated in his attempt at a second term. Andrew Johnson, who succeeded Abraham Lincoln when Lincoln was assassinated, he is the 17th president. Ulysses Grant, of course, the 18th president, who came after Johnson and was the leader of the Union forces during the Civil War, and actually was probably the reason the war ended when it did and didn't go on for another 3 or 4 years. And an Ohio man as well.
Okay.
Chester Arthur, the 21st president of the United States. Benjamin Harrison, the 23rd president and also an Ohio president. Warren Harding, our Marion's own, the 29th president of the United States. And, of course, who did not serve out his entire term, died while in office in June of 1923. Harry Truman, a very popular president, the 33rd president, who took over after Franklin Roosevelt died in 1945. And that's kind of an interesting story itself, because Roosevelt had been elected for his fourth consecutive term in November of 1941, and then, of course, died just a few months into his fourth term in 1945. So Truman basically served about 3 years and 7 months of that fourth term of FDR.
Wow.
And then chose to run for a term of his own, which he was, of course, successful in, and served until 1952 when Eisenhower took over. And then Eisenhower, who succeeded Truman, who was the 34th president. So that's our non-speaking presidents. And again, the foods that we will be eating will be based on Monroe, Roosevelt, Ford, and Reagan.
Okay.
So we should have some pretty interesting foods there as well.
Probably so.
Our master of ceremonies this year is a very interesting gentleman in himself, and he will also have a table with people that he can carry on conversation with, and his name is Colonel Edmund W. Starling. And the thing that makes him interesting is he's a Secret Service agent for U.S. presidents, and he's the only, Secret Service agent until just during the Kennedy administration to serve 5 different U.S. presidents. He started with Woodrow Wilson and ran all the way through Franklin Roosevelt. So he was there for 30 years.
Do they ever switch out or change the guards?
Well, yes, they do, but there are always usually two Secret Service agents that are strictly assigned to the president 24/7. And they would work 12-hour shifts. When Starling was a Secret Service agent, he and another Secret Service agent worked 12-hour shifts. So one of them was always with the president. 12 hours a day. You know, they work like 6 to 6. Whoa. So, yeah, now I'm sure things have changed now. But back in the earlier days, the two would serve with the president constantly. And the thing that they were told when they were assigned to what they called the detail was the president's detail, was that you never took your eye off the president. Mm. Never. So it was a 24/7 job. They would get like a week off for a vacation, and then someone would be brought up to take their place, but then immediately when they got back, they took over their job again. So he's a very interesting character. That's a individual that I portray.
Okay.
And a very interesting person. And then, as I said, Mary Ellen Withrow will also be one of our speakers. So again, that is Saturday, November the 5th. Tickets are still available for general seating. However, they have to be purchased by October the 20th. That's the cutoff date. And of course, we have to have a cutoff date because we need to let the caterer know how many people are going to be there, and so she can start working on getting the menu done. So, any other questions you want to ask about the dinner with presidents?
Hello, caller. You are on the air. Hello? Hello?
Sorry. You got to stop me if you got a call coming in because I just keep rattling on.
It says spa on the end, so I wasn't really sure, but I will let you know next time.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, that's the meet and dine with the President of the United States. Again, I'm so proud of this event. I'm so proud of my reenactors and all the volunteers that help with this event. And I very much thank the general public. And we get, Linda, we get busloads of people that come in. We've actually got a couple of buses coming in from out of state. And we've, over the years, we've had buses come from Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois. I think we had a bus from Wisconsin once, Michigan, Pennsylvania. They come from all over. This event has become known throughout the country, especially in the Midwest. We used to do the event out at what is now the sheriff's office building out here on Delaware Avenue.
Okay.
We used to have it upstairs in their big banquet hall.
Right.
And we did a luncheon one time during the day, and I had two buses come in, and one was from, I want to say, someplace southern Ohio around Cincinnati area. The other bus, I had no idea. All I knew was that they were coming from Indiana. Mm-hmm. And when buses would come like that, I go out and greet the bus as whatever character I'm portraying. And I stepped onto this bus from Indiana, and it was a bus full of Amish people. Seriously. And they were so, and it was a mystery trip. They didn't know where they were going. And they were so excited at that dinner. Because they learned about history. And,
right.
Yeah, and they had a chance to ask questions that day. They were thrilled to death, you know. Oh, so you never know who you're going to get.
That's true.
At these dinners. So our events have drawn people from all over. The next thing I want to talk about is our very famous Mary Ellen Withrow, the 40th
yes.
Treasurer of the United States. On Sunday, October the 2nd, at 5 o'clock, at All Occasions Catering, which is down just south of Waldo, there, the big banquet hall, we will be having, or the Marion County Hall of Fame will be having a dinner honoring Mary Ellen for her induction into the Marion County Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And this is extremely rare. Of all the people that are in the Marion County Hall of Fame currently, the criteria before Mary Ellen, and this had to be done especially, but you had to be deceased for 5 years before you could even be considered for the Hall of Fame in Marion County. And Mary Ellen is going to be turning 92.
Yes, she's
on October
lived such
the 2nd.
A long life.
Great,
what a blessing.
Very honorable life.
Yes.
And the Marion County Hall of Fame committee, which is a committee comprised of several people from different organizations throughout the county, not just the Historical Society, but county commissioners, other social clubs, civic clubs throughout the county. They voted to make her a member of the Hall of Fame and drop that criteria. So it's quite an honor for her, and it's an honor for the community to have her go into the Hall of Fame while she's still with us.
Yes, it
and
is.
Can share that
yes,
honor. So we're all very excited about that. So we're asking people to think about coming to that dinner. Tickets are $35. They are pre-purchase only. There won't be any tickets sold at the door. And the tickets need to be purchased. They're saying that Friday the 16th of September is the final date, but I think we could probably carry that a few extra days into next week, but I wouldn't want to wait too much longer.
Right.
Because there again, they need time, the caterer will need time to prepare for how many people we have.
Right.
We're hoping that we can get, you know, at least maybe 150 people. I know ticket sales have been good. You can buy your tickets through the Historical Society. You can stop in at the Historical Society Monday through Friday. The office is open. If the museum itself is not open, you can go to the stateside door and ring the bell, and they'll be glad to sell you tickets between 9 and 4. The office is open. Also, tickets would be available, I believe, when the museum is open, Wednesday through Sunday from 1 to 4, by going in the front door, and that way they can hook you up there, too. But, again, that's coming up on October the 2nd. Ticket sales, again, will end probably no later than this coming Monday, and you'll need to get those tickets purchased by then if you want to attend. But I would encourage people to attend. Mary Ellen is a personal friend. I've known her since I was in the banking business. She was state treasurer when I was still in the banking business, and she created a couple of programs for small banks, which I participated in, and I was so thankful and grateful for her to do that for the local banks, the small independent banks, of which I was a part of. So
she's truly been a champion.
She has for local people, for the individual.
Yes.
You know, not the big corporations, but for us individuals.
Yes, sweet lady. Very sweet.
I love her statement, and I like to quote her with this statement: yesterday is a canceled check, tomorrow is a promissory note, but today is cash. So again, get your tickets for that, and you can do that by stopping at the museum or giving them a call, 387-4255. So one other event that will be taking place at the Marion County Historical Society is another fundraiser for us. We did this last year featuring the 20s. This year, our main exhibit at the museum is based on the 30s in Marion. So if you haven't been to the museum lately, you need to stop. And again, we're open Wednesday through Sunday, 1 to 4, because the exhibit this year in the main atrium is the 1930s. So the event coming up on October the 22nd is called History Alive, the Thirsty 30s. This is an event for adults only. It is a general admission of $50. It runs from 6 to 9. Premise of the event is to have characters there from the 30s. Mm-hmm. This year we have characters including Miss America Marilyn Meskey, who was Miss America 1938.
Okay.
Dr. Carl Sawyer, who succeeded his father, Charles, who had the sanatorium here in Marion and also was President Harding and Mrs. Harding's personal physician both here in Marion and in Washington when they went to serve as president. J. Edgar Hoover, who was the first director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Okay.
We have an interesting, I think this is kind of an interesting character, the wife of a Dust Bowl farmer. Dust Bowl farmer, because as you know, the Dust Bowl took place in the 30s during the Depression when basically the West dried up and it turned into a big Dust Bowl. So we're going to have a lady there who survived the Dust Bowl.
I've seen some movies about that.
Yes, Grapes of Wrath, the most important or the most known movie that took place during the Dust Bowl. People literally starved to death during that time.
I believe it.
Well, you know, the crash was in 1929. Poor Herbert Hoover was in the White House when that occurred, and literally there were soup lines and food lines and no employment. The banks crashed. The plains dried up. There was no crops. People just literally died.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a terrible time. So with that $50, you'll have heavy hors d'oeuvres. You will get a complimentary cocktail of the time. Shovel City Drinkery will be there to prepare that. Guests are encouraged but not required to dress in 1930s attire. And again, this is a one-of-a-kind event that supports our mission, which is collecting, preserving, and sharing Marion County history. We have, and a lot of people don't know this, but we have in our collection over 40,000 artifacts or items of history associated to the county of Marion. That's hard to believe.
It is
over 40,000 items, separate items in our collection. And interestingly enough, of course, we're in the old post office building, which was built in 1910. And the Historical Society just celebrated its 50th anniversary a couple of years ago. And when the directors at the time decided to buy that building, which was in 89, a lot of people thought, what in the world are you buying such a great big building for? You'll never fill it up. Well, here it is, 50 years later,
right?
And we're bursting at the seams.
Yeah, no.
We actually could use more room for our archives.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's an amazing place, and I encourage people to stop in if they haven't. The Thirsty 30s History Alive, Saturday, October 22nd. Again, you can get your tickets by going online to marionhistory.com and buying them online, or you can stop at the museum Monday through Friday at the office, or on Wednesday through Sunday, 1 to 4, by coming in to the auditorium there. One more thing. That's probably going to take us down to our break. For the last, I think this is number 8. Every year we raffle off a gun / cash raffle. And this is another event fundraiser for us. We print 400 tickets. Tickets are $10 a piece. They're limited. Once they're gone, they're gone. And it's for a Henry Big Boy. This will interest people that are gun aficionados or hunters. But if you're not, you can take the cash option. But it's a lever-action rifle, 44 Magnum. Tickets are $10 a piece. Only 400 will be sold. If you win, you can either take the rifle or you can take the $500 cash. And a lot of times we do, people will take the cash option, and then we'll just do a silent auction and auction off the gun some other way.
Okay.
But that's been a very good fundraiser for us. So I think that's all I have for announcements on the Historical Society. Are we close?
We are. We're close. But you have a lot going on.
We do have a lot going on. We do have a lot going on. And real quickly, if we got just another minute.
Yes, we do.
In March, I'll just throw this out there. I know I'll be back before that. But in March, we do an event called Night at Heritage Hall. If you are familiar with the movie Night at the Museum, which was really popular several years ago, where the museum comes alive, the characters in the museum come alive. We started doing this about the time that movie came out.
Okay.
And we darken the museum. We'll have 30 to 40, maybe sometimes 50 different characters from Marion history, Ohio history, U.S. history in the museum. We give you a flashlight. It's the first time the new exhibit is available. And you can actually come in, see the new exhibit with your flashlight, and meet characters from our history's past.
Okay.
And they will interage with you and talk about their lives. So that's coming up in March, and we'll talk about that when that gets closer.
Boy, that's you have so much going on at the Ohio Historical Society.
Marion County Historical Society.
Marion County, okay.
Yeah.
Marion County. All right. So stay tuned for Fred Malone. The next 45 minutes, we will start up again at 11:15 to 12 noon. Boy, he has so much going on. This is my first time really talking to him, and I have enjoyed this hour. So thank you. Call back or come back. Tune in.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary owner of the Marion grocery store, Smith Cardinal, Bob Smith.
At the height of, ceiling things and everything, the height of one time, well, two times is a big story. This, we had been into teaching us how to know how to recognize somebody stealing. So this woman came up, and she was walking funny like this, and so I thought, well, something's wrong here. I think she's got something between her legs, because we had seen that before, you know, in teaching. And so I went up and bumped her, and sure enough, a turkey fell out.
You know, is there any particular reason, I'm glad it does, but that the